want to continue this afternoon with the Faithful Few, part two. Actually, we're just getting to part one, for this morning was all introduction. But I want to suggest a few of the characteristics of the Faithful Few. These are the sacrificial few. You know, there's a portion in the Bible when the widow, you know, she just gave a mite. Wasn't very much money, but the Lord was back there and he seen it. And he said, she gave more than all of you, because she gave all she had. Amen. So that's very important for us to see. You may not be able to do as much as somebody else. You may not be able to clean or sing or play, but God got a talent he gave you, and we need to use our talents for the Lord. And as we speak about these sacrificial few, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Luke, the ninth chapter. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, God says here, "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." We can get out several things out of those two verses, but when a person gives their life for the service of God and put the Lord first and put his belief first, and they haven't lost their life, they've found their life. And there are those church members willing to give up all else when there is work to do for God. They lose their lives in the world to invest them in the Lord's work. The Lord come first. They are willing to sacrifice their time, their strength, their finances. And no cost in serving Christ is considered too much to ask in view of what it cost Jesus Christ to save our souls. Paul's companion in the ministry, you know, in the book of Philippians, chapter 2 and verse 29 and 30, you know, Paul asks the people to receive him. In other words, that he was Paul's companion, he was Paul's helper, and that we need leaders and we need followers. And when you stop and think about it, a leader would not be a leader if he didn't have followers. And so every one of us that are saved, we are to either to lead in the work of God, or we are to be willing to follow when we can do something, when we can add some value. And it's small things, but, you know, I don't usually call out anybody, you know, but I like to see the young people involved. I like to see them doing things. And we look at little certain things, and to some of you, it's no big deal, but you know, we go back there and we eat lunch, and there's a slide presentation going on that lets you remind you where one of our members are at far field and can't be here, remind you of some plans for the church, just pictures I've seen where she put on the screen, if you have a picture you would like to share with the church, you know, give with her and she'll put it on there. You know, those things keep our interest. Those things keep us from just saying, hey, all church about it is just coming in, hearing a man preach or holler. But it's more than that. It's fellowshipping with God and fellowshipping with God's people.
Amen.
Growing together and seeking ways to bring us together. You know, it is so important that we see that if God added you to this body, you're important. You are important. Sardis, as we read this morning, had a few people who will be given special privileges of walking with the Lord in white because they were known to be worthy. You know, and I know I'm going to heaven. There's no doubt in my mind about that. If he calls me home right now before your next breath, I'd be in the presence of God. But at that judgment seat of Christ, I want to be counted worthy to get that white robe, which means that to the best of my ability, I have kept myself pure for the glory of God. When I say pure, not talking about any particular sins, but my whole life was to serve him and to put him first and to lift him up. And those few in the church of Sardis, not all of them, you know, some of them were dead, some of them were just there in body and all, but God said that they had some that were worthy, some that were still alive. Now, Jesus not talking about being worthy of salvation, but walking in the worthy way. You know, and the best way to explain that you may have a friend that you thought was your friend on this life, and some misunderstanding happens, and that friend says, phew, you know, and you wonder, wasn't all of these years worth something? You know, was I fooled? Was I misled all these years? You know, what you did yesterday is important, but you know what everybody remembers? What you do now. What you're doing today. We praise God for all the good things we did in the past and was able to do. So here when he said there were some in the church of Sardis was known to be worthy, you know, like I said, he's not talking about worthy of salvation. None of us worthy of salvation.
Amen.
There's none of us good enough that God's going to save us on behalf of our life. But our Christian walk of obedience to faith is viewed as a worthy way of example. See, people got such a short memory spread, you know. I don't know why I was thinking about this on the way over. I got a CD, and y'all don't need to know this, I don't guess, but I love Mandolin, and it's a whole CD of just mandolin bluegrass, and I was just thinking and off in a different world, you know. I hope nobody's coming. I didn't really know where I was going, but you know, you get your mind on something else. And I said, you know, why couldn't a child of God listen to music that would take their mind out of the world, take their mind out of what is right and wrong in their mind, and just soothe? You know, these were Christian hymns played, you know, with a mandolin and banjo and flat top and, you know, no rock beat to it. Wasn't anything you're going to jump up and down. You just sit there and listen and God soothe your soul. I believe what God seen in that church of Sardis was some people that was worthy of his service. You know, they were serving him. Whatever they done, however big it was, however small it was, God thought them to be worthy. Well, 1 Corinthians 4:2 states, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Now, I want you to see that verse, 1 Corinthians 4:2. I want you to look at it. God said, moreover, it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Now, I believe all of you that are saved would agree with me, God requires repentance before you can be saved. Amen. Is there a different word for require here in 1 Corinthians 4:2? I looked it up before I left this morning. I looked it up last night. I wanted to make sure. It is required before Steve Hampton to be saved, he must repent. Everybody would say that. Steve, you've got to repent. God requires that. Well, God said here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You said, but preacher, I'm not a steward. You don't have anything. You don't drive a car. You don't live in a house. You don't have all of that stuff. It's God's. You don't own nothing. You came in this world with nothing, and you'll leave with nothing. Amen. You are a steward of everything you have, and God said you need to be faithful in what you have. God said it, not Brother Vance. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is required in Scott Beckel that when I take my car to his place of work, that he does the best job he possibly can on my vehicle. It's required. Because that ability that he has, God gave it to him. And God can remove it in a heartbeat. So it is required for the membership of Hammond Road Baptist Church to be faithful with the ability and talents that God has entrusted you with. Amen. A steward is a person trusted with managing the affairs of someone else. If you got a will, and if you was by chance made me the trustee, and please don't, but if by some chance you did, it is my responsibility to carry out exactly the way you wanted it, whether I agreed with it or not. So that's what a steward is. So God has given me this, 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 and this. Now how does God want me to use it? The more you've been given, the more responsibility. So what does God do? A steward is a person trusted with managing the affairs of someone else. Stewardship may be better understood by the parable given by Jesus. Jesus told the servants in the parable of the pounds that each servant should occupy till I come, as I brought out this morning. He gives you one talent, two talents, three talents, four talents. God expects more out of the four than he does the one, but most of us fall in that one, and we're so afraid we're not going to please him that we don't do nothing with it. I'm singing, but I can't sing as good as George Jones, so I'm not going to sing. I can't teach as good as Apostle Paul, so I'm not going to teach. I mean, we just go on and on and on. But you're not doing anything to get the praise of man. You're doing what you're doing to be faithful to God. And when you do that, there'll be a person every once in a while that'll give you an attaboy. And don't let that attaboy go to your head, because it was God that gave you the ability. Amen. Am I preaching? God is very specific and clear how he wants his talents used. So as we said this morning, I believe I used the same verse, and I checked with the Lord, and he said, that's fine. When we look here in Luke, the 19th chapter and the 13th verse, I believe, what did God say? And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and he said unto them, occupy till I come. Keep busy. Keep busy. You get in trouble when you don't do anything, when you stand idle. He said, I can't do anything. If you're not able to physically work, you got good eyes, you got good ears, you know, that there is so many books, good books. All you got to do is get online and listen to them. Don't have to buy them now. My people perish. My people perish for lack of knowledge. And I'll throw a little politics in. Priest would tell me a change, but I'm pastor here. So you know why our government is in such a bad shape? People don't know anything about the Constitution. They don't know anything about the Declarations of Independence. They don't know that the people were sent there to represent us, not to get rich. So how do you stop that? You vote them out. But we're living in apathy.
I don't have time to vote. Don't make no difference, no way.
Well, it made a difference this past November. Did you see a little thing that is now Speaker of the House? Lord, if that don't make you want to leave the country. Why? Because we did not occupy the way God told us to. We know what the Bible said if we're saved, and we are to stand upon what the Bible says and not anything else. Every decision ought to be made based upon the Word of God. Amen. Occupy till I come. Here's our question today. We are faithful stewards of our Master's business in this church, which is his body, to whom we owe diligence, and do we show some life? God placed us here, not for you to have a place to go. But he placed you here to be a blessing, to uplift, to encourage, to carry out a ministry. Number of things. And I had a lady tell me, Brother Thanks, I can't do much, but I'm praying for you. We need prayer warriors. Amen. You know why people don't pray? It's hard. Listen to me carefully. How many times have you really prayed for somebody for a length of time? After 5 or 10 minutes, you ask yourself, who am I praying for? Because the devil is just fill your mind. In verse 6, the Lard called upon the Sardis church people to open their eyes to hear his message. If we have ears to hear, we need to listen to what he is saying. Listen to what he is saying. Are there members of our church who need to wake up from spiritual stupor? Preached last Wednesday night. Matt and his little silly sermon audio, you know, he wanted to put that on there, and he said, you done preached that message. I did not. Yes, you did. It's on sermon audio. But it wasn't the same message. I just named it the same. So I think from now on, I'm just going to put this message, January 6th. You know, but I mean, let's be honest. How many of you could name the title of the last four messages I preached? How many of you list my text verse? I don't worry about preaching the same message. If God put that message up for me, I'll preach it every Sunday until he takes it off.
Amen.
And it'll be different every time. We're so hung up on what people think. Let me let you in on a clue. They don't. You know why? Thinking is hard. Amen? It's hard to think. It's much easier to Google it. God calls upon the Sardis church people to open their eyes to hear his message. And if we have ears to hear, we ought to hear. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 through 17, Paul here speaks to the church of Ephesus. And notice what he says. Let's see this real quickly. You know, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, God said in verse 14, he said, "Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall what give thee light." You know what light is? Understanding. He'll let you understand what you're reading, what you ought to do. God said, "Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Dead can also be copied as sleep. Many are asleep. They're not conscious of what's going on around them. So what did God do? He tells us here in Ephesians 5:14, "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest." Remember, he's talking to the church that sleepest, "and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Don't walk foolishly. Don't put one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Why? Well, God goes on to say here in verse 16, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. If you've got somebody you want to tell about the Lord, what are you waiting for? A convenient time? The convenient time is when you and that person are together. Verse 17, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You know what the will of the Lord is for every one of us? Our theme. What is our theme for 2019? Discipleship. That is what God wants each and every one of us to do, is to be a disciple, and a disciple, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, all you got to do is say, "Lord, I'm willing," and he will give you opportunity. When that opportunity comes, don't chicken out.
Right. Amen.
If you can talk to your family and your best friend, from that on, it's a piece of cake. Because they're the hardest people you'll ever talk to. And if you get too close to them, they'll just quit talking. But at least the blood's off my hands. And when it comes to that, I don't want nobody's blood on my hands that I've had an opportunity. And there's been some. Not proud of it, there's been some. It's just amazing. There are those sacrificial few. God said it's required in a steward. Number two, there are the stimulating few. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, 18, "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onfortress," and that ain't pronounced properly, but you know what it is. "For he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed by my chains. Verse 17, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in the day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. You know what I want to get out of those three verses? God knows every right thing we do. God knows the intent of our heart. We may blow it. We may be so nervous we may use the wrong scripture, but God knows our heart. Pastors and church members often need this refreshing from the faithful few. I thank God for the faithful few. I thank God. That's why I said I don't want to live in the past. But I mean, my wife and I had called them the heroes of the past. And God has blessed us. This church has been blessed with heroes of the past. I mean, those, especially those ladies who sacrificed for years to keep this church going. And you think about them. They set an example in front of the families, and most of the families are lost. There's going to be some jewels in glory. Be some jewels, you know. Disciples, remember that it was written, the zeal of thine house have eaten me up. Wonder where that's at. It's in John chapter 2, verse 17. And lastly, there are the steady few. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, 58 says, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. See, I know that y'all that's here, remember when Sister Reed was living? Sister Reed had a place down in Tennessee. It was a sharing place. You know, you'd get a week every year. And she would always let me and my wife go, and we would go and take, I don't know whether Reed ever went with us or not. I know Amal did and Ann did, but we would always have a church we'd go to. You know, we went into church on Wednesday night, and the preacher couldn't preach, but he called upon his wife to say something, and she prayed, and I'll remember this till I'm in glory. Sister Reed said, y'all just go on out to the van. I'll be out directly. She got that old boy right up in the corner, and he said, don't you know that God's word said let the woman keep silent in the church? Have you ever read that? Well, let me show it to you. I mean, she got right up. She said, I wasn't in the church, was over. Matter of fact, I'm not sure where we even had church. I mean, she would flat tell us just like it is, whether you liked it or not. But she's right. Yeah, and we went on out, you know, and all the other ladies, see, what is she doing? All this, she ain't out in the air. I'll go in and check on her. She didn't need any defense. She loved the Lord, she loved the word, and she'd tell it to Satan itself. Those are long gone years. See, you know, judgment probably get hope of you do that now, but, you know, she's just, ever since the read, you know. My beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. And as we close, there are the shining few. You know, Matthew 5, 14 through 16 talks about ye are the light of the world. And a city that sets on the hill cannot be hid. Used to have a Sunday school class and Bible school that they would have the kids, you know, where do you go to church? one little boy, he was just, you know, he was just mumbling, you know. And I always pointed out to the adults, don't follow him. He's a child, you know. We ought to be proud.
Amen.
Where we go to church.
Amen.
We ought to be proud that God saved us.
Amen.
We ought to want everybody to know what the Bible teaches.
Amen.
And if that gets out, there's going to be a faithful few that does it. Because the majority is like what I'm going to put in bulletin next week. Everything is going on, and I'll repeat this line over and over. Well, it's not me. I go to church. I go home. That's what Christians do now. Say it. It's Sunday. I'm a Christian. I'll go to church. I go home. And I hope nobody asked me what the sermon was, because I couldn't tell them. Our theme this year is discipleship. And I hope by the first quarter of this year that we're ready to win disciples.
Amen.
You know, if you can't pass out papers, you're willing to fold them.
Amen.
You're willing to put addresses on some of them. You know, just something we all can do. So that one person don't have to do it all. Christians are to do more than come to church and go home. So I can't do anything. Get in the center of God's will and pray for laborers. The harvest is ready. We need labor.